My name is John Lorden, and I've been looking into hundreds of unsolved mysteries over the past 5 years on my YouTube channel, Lorden Arts. And I've been known to bring a respectful, victim-focused approach to the stories that I cover while donating thousands of dollars directly to those cases and the charities that help them. Now, I'm bringing that approach and sensibility, along with some of the biggest mysteries I've ever looked into and some new ones, to a weekly podcast called Seriously Mysterious. From bizarre occurrences to unsolved murders and unexplainable disappearances, everything is fair game on this show as long as it's seriously mysterious. You can find Seriously Mysterious on your favorite podcatchers or by visiting seriouslymysterious.com. Let's look into the mysterious together.
True Consequences is a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico and the American Desert Southwest. I'm your host, Eric Carter Londine.
This is the story of the murders of the Griego family. My name is Eric Carter Londine, and this is True Consequences. Police also interviewed Greg and Sarah's tenant. The tenant told police that Greg was known to patrol the neighborhood with a shotgun in his hand. She said that he is patrolling all the time, but mostly at night. He seemed to have some concerns about the neighbors. She believed that Greg was paranoid about people coming into his property because he was said to have been abusing horses by starving them. Let's listen to the tenant talk about her relationship with the Griego family.
And besides you and your brother, previous to, like, last night, you two were the only ones staying in the house that you're...
Yeah.
That you rented from?
Yeah.
And did you rent from the Griegoses? Or,
yes.
Or, okay. So as far as you know, they're the owners of the property?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. About how old do you think Greg is?
I think he's in his 50s.
In his 50s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've been staying there about
did he pass away
6 or 7 months. I can't really talk about it too much. Yeah, not yet anyways, okay?
Okay.
All that yucky stuff will come out soon enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have very much contact with the Griegos family?
We tried not to.
Tried not to? Did you guys not get along? Or?
We were very leery of them. They're mm-hmm. very, Greg is very, very paranoid.
Okay.
You know, I used to, you know, I would sit outside and when he patrols the property with like a sawed-off shotgun.
Greg patrols the property with a sawed-off shotgun?
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting out front. It was in the summer and the neighbors had a band going and I was sitting out and listening to that and I just look up and there he is. He came up the side of our house.
Uh-huh.
You know.
He came up to the side of your house and
you saw him with
the gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And about how often does that happen?
He patrols all the time, you know. I mean, I'll see him walking the water and stuff, and he's got an attitude about the neighbors.
Mostly at night?
At night. He's paranoid about the neighbors are going to come
and
on the
property. And which neighbors would those be?
They're... All of them, but the main ones, if on that property, I don't know their names, but the front of their house faces the side of that property. See.
Did he ever talk to you about why he patrols with a gun?
He was very paranoid about the people coming on his property. They were always turning him in because he had animals he abused.
Did you ever see Greg abuse animals? Or?
They didn't feed them, they starved them.
Okay.
They were bones. I have pictures on my old cell phone that you could actually get the pictures off of if we could get it to come on. The phone broke, it's somewhere in a box. But I started taking pictures when I first got there because these horses were so deformed looking, their bones. You could count the bones and the veins. Uh-huh. And my brother started feeding them. and the neighbors were all complaining about it, and the animal control people were out there all the time. Finally, okay. The two main horses, they got rid of them and found homes for them. They had a little pony that they had gotten, and it wasn't going to be too long till anyway. We finally, the neighbors, they talked Sarah into giving up that little pony, so the little pony ended up at Pam's down the road, and she kept it for a few days, and then I had a friend in my AA group that has horses, and I'd seen one of the horses that she'd rode up to the group, beautiful horse, mm-hmm. and she said she would take it, you know, if it was free, so she came and got it, and they won the bunny rabbit. There's a little bunny rabbit. He's in my house right now in a cage, and I rescued that one from them. Okay. They would just like come home with the animals and throw them in the backyard, and their dog would be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe one rabbit there. Got yeah. The this was like a little baby bunny, and I was sitting out there, you know, and one of them had already gotten killed, and I would tell them, I says, you got to keep it in a cage, you know, away from the dog, because they wouldn't fix anything until the dog would get out of its little pen.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was just neglect. It was just like they'd get them, throw them out there, forget about it. And so finally, you know, I gave her $5 for the rabbit. And then I called Rescue, House Bunny Society Rescue here with Albuquerque and Des Schaefer. Mm-hmm. Came out and showed me what to do with the bunny. She's mine now. I went ahead and kept her, but I fostered her.
Okay.
And she was going to find a home for it because I have two cats. But
okay. Do you know the children very well?
They kept them hid in the house most of the time. They weren't like normal children that would be running and playing out in the yard.
Uh-huh.
If you saw one, you didn't see any of the other one. And the one little boy, they let it do chores and come outside for like maybe 3 weeks out of the whole time.
Which boy is that? How old is that boy?
He was probably, I want to say 7 or 8.
Uh-huh. Do you know his name?
I got him mixed up because it was Nehemiah and Jenemiah, I think. I'm not sure. Mike knows.
You said Jenemiah is one of them?
That's probably not. Let's see. Zephaniah and Nehemiah, they all had biblical names.
Okay. Zephaniah?
I think.
But Jenemiah is one of the boys?
Yeah, but that's not the right name. It's not Jenemiah.
Okay.
They're,
That's okay.
Yeah.
Do you know about the ages of all the kids?
Pretty close. There was one that I saw one day. I think that maybe she was like 2.
Uh-huh.
There was a little bitty one that was in the high chair. One that was like 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Little girls, I think.
Both of them about the same age? Or?
Pretty close. Cute as a button.
So one young boy and 2 young girls.
Yeah, there might have been a 3rd girl. We never saw them.
Okay.
It was like they kept them hid.
How often would you say you had contact with the Gallegos family?
If I saw them leaving, when they had all the animals, you saw them more often because Sarah would go out, you know, and rake, you know, and mm-hmm. see about the animals and stuff.
Okay.
And you would see the kids taking hay to them every now and then.
Okay. A young, really young kid? Like the young boy doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They were out there. They were teasing it one day, and I told them don't be doing that because I was afraid they were going to get stampeded.
Okay.
You know?
Now, why don't you think about the last few days? Last couple days.
Okay.
And you know, what you remember. Go ahead and go back maybe like 2 days and tell me what was going on.
Okay, one thing that was weird, there was this guy.
Okay, and I assume in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like parked along, you know, with the mailbox. Yeah, definitely Friday. And Mike said he was a plumber, but it was the weirdest looking plumber I ever had seen. He was driving one of these cars like you see in a car show.
Mm-hmm.
An old car, about like what my dad had. When we were kids growing up.
Okay.
It was
like a classic.
The 50s. Kind of. Yeah. 50s. It was white.
Was it nice or?
It needed a bath, but yeah, for that, yeah. It wasn't all shined up like they usually are.
Oh, okay.
You know, because they're going to show them. It is a little, yeah.
Was the paint nice, or was it like...
It probably was if it was plain.
Okay. Did it have like different colors on it, or was it like completely white?
White.
White. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what, like a cream color, but white.
Yeah.
It was a cream?
Something between a white or cream.
Okay. And do you have any idea what like brand car, like Ford, Chevy, or anything like that? I know 50s cars are harder because nobody remembers that stuff anymore. If I saw a picture of it, I could tell you. How about, some of those old cars have like chrome grills or bumpers and stuff like that. What about that kind of stuff?
Seems like it had chrome bumpers.
Chrome bumpers?
Uh-huh. And it seems like the license plate was like a red color. The license plate looked different on it.
Okay. And you saw this when you were coming home?
Yeah, it was, yeah, where I parked. My car is the little Toyota Camry.
Okay.
And he would had it parked long ways by the mailbox. And I saw him. And I'd never seen that car there before or anything, but Mike had already found out my brother that was a plumber.
So Mike had talked to the guy? Or
he,
what?
Sarah came over and used our washing machine.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know if Sarah told Mike
that. And this was previous to 1 o'clock? Is that what you're thinking? Or?
What class was I in? I was in... Computers was on Friday. Thursday was in...
You going to CNM, UNM, or
yeah.
What? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, community college. If I look on my cell phone, I could tell you. That would be the last time she contacted, because she texts... Sarah texts me a lot.
Okay. So at some point she texts you to ask you to use...
To use our washing machine.
And that was on Friday?
It was Friday, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So prior to you getting home, she texts you and asks to use the washing machine.
It was early in the morning.
And that's how Michael
knew
that it was a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And did Michael kind of like assume that the car belonged to the plumber? Or is that what you were assuming?
Well, I know it because he kept coming out and getting stuff out of it, out of the trunk.
Okay.
And he would never make eye contact with me.
Okay, about how did this dude look?
He was... I think he had a mustache. I would say he's Hispanic. Is that Spanish, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna judge you on what I've been caught.
Okay. He had hair that he didn't look like anybody I'd ever seen over there. Seems like he had a mustache. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen him over there before, and his hair was kind of not longish, not short.
Like shoulder length or short?
No, it was like, this, but you know. But the weirdest thing was, you know, I'm friendly to everybody, you know, and I was just was like gonna, you know,
and he wouldn't even
say,
look at
exact,
you.
Yeah, I was gonna say hello, cool car, and it was just like he had a weird look on his face.
Okay.
And he wouldn't even look at me, make eye contact, nothing. It was just weird.
And he kept getting stuff out of the vehicle?
Yeah.
How many trips do you think he took?
A couple. You know, he was there for 2 days.
Did he start on Friday?
Yeah. He was there Friday, and he was there... This is Sunday now. No, it's about to be Sunday.
Yeah, it's about to be... actually, it's Sunday right now, but it's only been Sunday for about 10 minutes. So he was Friday and yesterday?
I didn't see him today. It was Thursday to Friday.
Thursday and Friday?
Yes.
So Thursday about 1 o'clock is when you first saw the car? Do you remember hearing anything coming from the house, or?
You don't hear anything over there.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling one of the officers, I was laying there, and I thought I heard something pop. But
when was this?
This was like, I laid down at 8 o'clock, maybe 9.
Tonight?
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, at first I started to get up and go and see what it was. But see, about the same time, the heater came on. And... see, the heater came on and I heard that pop, but my brother is a pack rat.
Uh-huh.
So I just decided, well, maybe something fell off, you know, but it was an awful loud, you know, I got to thinking about it. But this is a weird thing, is that we woke up this morning, was it this morning? Okay, the day that Sarah was over there and did the laundry and she went home.
That was Thursday, right?
Yeah, no, Friday.
Okay, so Thursday the plumbers got there.
Right.
But she came over on Friday to do the laundry.
Right.
Okay.
The tenant was asked if she knew the children. She claimed that the parents kept them hidden and away, and they weren't known to play outside like most kids. Police asked the tenant to talk about the last couple of days. She said that she came home from a meeting at around 1:30 on Thursday afternoon. She claimed that there was a strange man who was allegedly a plumber, but she said he was driving a classic car, which struck her as odd. The neighbor claimed that Sarah Griego came over to her house to use her laundry facilities. Police also interviewed Nehemiah's older sister. They asked her about his schooling, and they asked if he did extracurriculars. She said that he didn't. Let's listen to how she describes her brother.
And apparently you don't live at the house in the South Valley, right?
No, I got married.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived there for until I got married, but okay. It was like, oh no, over a year and a half.
Over a year and a half, okay. So you're up there in East Mount with all the snow, huh? Or the snow we need. And who are all your family members?
My dad, Greg Griego, my mom, Sarah Griego, and then me and my Griego, except not Griego, and then Joyelle Griego and Angelina Griego, the ones that live in the house.
Okay, and what are their ages?
Angelina's 2, Child's 5, Sephniah's 9, Nehemiah's 15, and my mom, it was going to be 41 next week, and my dad just turned 51 in December.
Okay, and Nehemiah's 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about Nehemiah. Where does he go to school at?
He's homeschooled.
Homeschooled,
yeah,
by who?
My mom and dad, they homeschooled all of us.
Did they? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Is he in any programs at all, or anything, extracurricular activities, sports, anything like that at all?
I don't think so. Not that I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I heard he's a pretty smart kid?
Yeah.
Okay. And at your homeschooling, did your mom have you guys ahead of everybody, or how was that? Because I know homeschooling is better.
It depends. I was ahead on that, so he's kind of right where he's at, because he doesn't really like to learn. He likes to read his encyclopedia books.
Okay.
So that's all my mom, she would... Depending on what he wanted to learn, so
okay.
I'm not sure really where he's at in schooling.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And what else about him can you tell me? Just how is he as a your brother? I mean, what's his demeanor like usually?
He's usually happy. He's very I mean, he has an attitude. Remember, he's a teenager.
Yeah.
So he has a teen mentality, I guess.
Okay.
You could say. But he's never been harsh to her parents or into that or to the kids or
okay.
anything. I mean, they fight, but that's siblings.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This normal stuff, so.
And when's the last time you spoke to him?
I think the last time I spoke to them all was, I think it was December 27th, the day me and my husband went back in Cali and we went on a family vacation with them.
Okay. And is your husband now here?
Yeah, he's
okay. And what about how was his relationship with the, and you said, just with the normal sibling stuff, just normal.
Yeah, normal sibling stuff, yeah.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about the neighbors are telling us some things I don't know because I just got here. Where does your dad work at?
He's working. As far as I know, he's working with the courts for veterans.
Okay.
Something with veterans, and he was also working at Albuquerque Rescue Mission.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of
okay.
The man, the shift at nighttime. He worked during the night.
The shift supervisors.
Yeah.
Okay, and who usually lived at the house? Did anybody else live at the house?
Well, from heard from Vince, there was a side kid and some black kid that was living there, which I didn't ever knew about.
Okay.
The first people I knew that lived there before, and I knew they were going to be moving out soon, was a brother and sister. They're probably like late 50s to 60s.
Okay.
And they were living there for quite a while.
Okay.
They're the only people I met that were there.
And how long were they living there, do you know, in terms of months or years?
Maybe 7 months, maybe six, seven months.
It's
been a bit.
Did they move out, or did she
like
move?
A week and a half ago or something, my mom texted me saying, hey, she was letting me know, yeah, she's like, we're getting that cleaning up the guest house because they're going to be moving out pretty soon.
Okay.
I was like, oh, okay. So, that's all.
Okay.
With that.
Did your parents have anybody that have stayed with them, whether it's from the rescue mission or wherever, that have caused problems over there before?
I don't know. He's made a lot of enemies. He works. He's always worked with convicts all his life and stuff that. He was in gangs a long time ago. Kind of got out of gangs when I was about 3 or 4. But I knew he still had a green light from them because, you know, his skin and stuff like that. That's why he moved back here because he didn't really find him or anything.
Where was he originally from?
He was actually originally from here, but he did all his gang stuff out in LA. Southern California.
Okay.
So.
And nothing that he's mentioned of it as of recent?
Mm-mm.
Okay. And did you contact your parents by cell phone, of course? Was it usually by voice or just text
messages? Just text messages, okay. Yeah.
And when's the last time you spoke to them?
Like verbally or text?
Or text, so any communication.
Text, I talked to my mom last was yesterday around 5 p.m.
Around 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about your dad?
I didn't talk to him at all.
Okay. And these might be more questions. Do you guys, you might be like my parents, do you talk to them every day or just kind of... Off and on.
Off and on. My mom does text me a lot and lets me know what's going on usually and stuff like that. Okay. And so.
And do any of your brothers or sisters, do they have a cell phone that they use at all?
No, he has an iPhone. iPad Touch. And if he has internet, he's able to text me every now and then, but he rarely does. So okay. I don't know if there is Wi-Fi at the house right now.
Oh, I said iPod Touch goes through email or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Has he ever communicated with you that way through iPod Touch? Okay. Is that his normal communication?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my friends will never have a cell phone or anything.
So. Does he have any friends that he hangs out with that are suspicious to you at all, or?
I think he does like to hang out with the wrong crowd sometimes, but I don't really know his friends. And he's mostly stuck at Calgary a lot because he plays for the music ministry and stuff like that. I know there was one kid who tried to harass him, but I don't know this kid's name or anything, so I don't really know.
Just normal, nothing significant?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
When I was younger, my parents used to argue. This is when I was living there. And they used to argue, and my dad sometimes would yell at her and say, you know, he's like, I've made sure to do the best for you and stuff you want, and take it all away, and I'll just kill you guys and kill myself. So, because I heard him say it was a suicide murder, and I've been talking to my husband about it, and I was like, I remember him saying that kind of, like, threats. And I was a kid.
How old were you?
Probably a teenager.
Teenager, okay.
Yeah, and he said it every now and then, but I didn't think he would ever go through it. I mean, it's his own kids and his wife, you know. And he used to just say when he was angry or arguing with my mom and whatever.
He would just doing arguments with your mom?
Yeah.
Okay. Did, how long have your parents lived there?
Since I was 12. So, let me see, hold on. I'm 21 now, so we moved there when Steph and I, 9 years, because Steph and I was a baby.
Okay. And tell me, who, do you guys hunt or anything, or is there a lot of weapons in the house?
There is weapons in the house. My dad does have a few guns, and he does it for protection. He did teach the boys how to shoot and some of that, just in case anyone comes.
He taught the boys how to shoot?
Yeah.
In case someone comes to
the Yeah, because my mom, since he was working through the nights, he didn't want my mom
to
feel unsafe or anything.
Do you remember what weapons are in the house at all?
I think there's a shotgun.
Okay.
One of those little pistol guns. I don't know if it's like a 35 or whatever you call those.
Okay.
Handgun kind of thing. I think there's another one, but I'm not sure what kind of gun it is.
Okay.
I know it has a scope on it. That's all I remember.
So they're available to for everybody for protection in case something happens?
Most of them he has locked up. There's only one that he has, and my mom knows where that one is.
Okay.
I don't know if she knows where that is.
And which gun is your, and I'm assuming your Nehemiah is trained on it, your dad trained him. Can Nehemiah get to a gun, or any kids get to a gun? You said they're locked up.
No, they're locked up. He has a little chest that are locked up. If there is a gun hidden, my mom is probably the only one that knew where it was at.
Okay. Well, how would the kids protect themselves, though, if someone got in?
I think my mom would find the gun, because she would know they didn't give it to them.
Okay. Any other weapons you can think of? You said there's a hunting rifle with a scope on it?
I think it's a rifle. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Never really looked at the guns.
Okay. Anything else that you can remember at all?
That's about it.
So your dad would say this when...
Yeah, they were arguing. He would get really mad and say that he gave her everything and she didn't appreciate it. So that he's like, well, might as well just take everything with me and she could have to kill myself. So.
Okay. Did he say this all the time or was it just this one time?
He said it a few times over the years. Okay. When I was young and stuff like that. And so, but the kids never heard him say it because I always kept them... If they argued, we always go to another room. I couldn't distract them. It's the only one I ever saw this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. You heard that correctly. She claimed her dad had threatened to kill the family and himself in the past. Police also interviewed a member of the Calvary Church. This person said that Nehemiah was supposed to be at church to play in the worship band, but he showed up too late to help. When he was confronted, he apologized for being late and offered to play the next day. Nehemiah's girlfriend's grandmother approached the man and said that Nehemiah told her that he had driven himself to church and that his whole family was dead. Based on this information, people from the church started trying to call Nehemiah's parents, but were of course unable to reach them. The church staff decided to take Nehemiah and pull him aside and ask him to confirm what he's been saying. Let's listen to some audio from one of the church members' interview with police.
Just reading it off the top here, you go to church?
At Calvary.
Okay, at Calvary. Mm-hmm. And you had some contact with Nehemiah tonight?
Yes.
Why don't you tell me about that? And I'll read that in a few minutes.
Okay. First contact was when he had arrived about 15 minutes before service started.
Okay.
He was
about what time is that?
6:15.
6:15? Okay, and that's when service starts? And
so service starts at 6:30.
Okay, so he got there about 6:15?
Yeah, he showed up a few minutes early. Uh-huh. He was supposed to be there to play worship with me, actually, that night. Or tonight.
Tonight.
Technically last night. And so that's why when I noticed him, I was like, well, what's going on here? So I approached him and I said, hey, you were supposed to play worship tonight with me. I was like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, did I confirm? And what he meant by that was basically we have an online system that we can schedule people to serve in the ministry, and they can either confirm or deny. And he confirmed that night for Saturday. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I don't, you know, I'm sorry. He's like, I didn't know. I'm like, well, I can play with you tomorrow if you'd like. Nothing else had happened at that point, so I just said, okay, well, that's fine. I was like, don't worry about tonight. I'll play tonight, and we'll just play tomorrow. And I said, okay. So that moment, he was with Joanna, who was a grandmother of a girl that he was with. So they had all come together.
That Nehemiah was with?
Yeah, so Nehemiah was with this granddaughter and her grandmother.
And who, are they related to him, or?
No, I guess that he is friends with the granddaughter. And
okay.
The granddaughter goes to the middle school group there. Joanna approached me separately and said, hey, do you know Nehemiah very well? And I said, well, I know him all right. Uh-huh. I don't know him too well, but my family and a couple, you know, pastors and stuff know him here because his dad used to serve as a pastor here. And then grandmother mentioned that she wasn't, you know, a member of the congregation. So she said, well, he was here this morning, I guess, early playing the drums and practicing. He said that he had something
So Joanna is saying that Nehemiah came earlier Saturday.
To church, yeah.
Okay.
He was church playing, practicing. He said that he was practicing for service.
Okay.
And the granddaughter, I think that they came to hang out.
Joanna said that Nehemiah had been at Calvary practicing drums, right? And then came and hung out with Joanna and up until 6:15 p.m.?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. She mentioned that she basically told me a story of what he told her at that time, and that was that he drove himself to the church and that his parents were all dead. His family was dead.
And when did he tell them this?
She just mentioned that during that day that he had told them that.
Okay.
And
during the time
that they
hung out
sometime
with each other.
During that day that they were together.
So Joanna is saying that Nehemiah said he knew his parents were dead.
That he knew his family was
his
dead.
His family did.
Yeah. He said that he... Yeah, okay. I'll get to that part in a little bit. He drove himself to the church and that he was on his own and that he was trying to get on, you know, or that he was trying to do things, you know, with his life as far as the past couple of days. Because he said to them, you know, the past couple of days that I've been kind of on my own. I was staying at a friend's house. So that was all from Joanna's, what she told me. At that moment, I said, okay, well, let's go ahead and find a pastor, and I'll figure out what's going on. And she went into the main service because she had told her granddaughter that she went out to get some air. She didn't want her to know that she was actually talking to us.
Okay.
So we went and found Justin Marbury, who one of the officers talked to earlier.
Okay.
And Justin, I kind of brought him up to the situation and said, hey, she thinks that he ran away from home. She says that he kind of told this extravagant story according to, you know, what would be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to make sure because if it is true, we definitely want something to be done. If it's not true,
we definitely want to talk to his parents and let them know that, you know.
Yeah, he's run away.
That he's run away or that, you know, he's making up these stories.
Okay.
So Justin called Greg Griego on his cell phone and left him a message saying, hey, you know, we need to talk to you. And Justin said, cool, we'll talk to Nehemiah. I'll see if I can see Nehemiah after service. So service ended.
So he called Greg, and I'm sorry, he didn't get in touch with him.
He didn't get in touch with him. Okay. Message.
All right.
So Justin said, cool, we'll deal with this after service. I went back to service. I told the grandmother, I'll be back in the middle school area after service. Come, you know, come see me. We'll see what's going on.
Okay.
So she came back. I told her, hey, I'm supposed to go see Justin. Why don't you see if you guys can hang out here or something like that? She's like, well, I'll take him over to the cafeteria or the cafe area. So I went, found Justin, and told, you know, Justin what was going on in the sanctuary. Justin said, okay, awesome. So I'll meet you in the cafe. And that's when Justin, I didn't see Nehemiah at first, and then he found Nehemiah, I guess, when I told him I had given him Joanna's number, because she'd given that to me previously, so that way he had contact for Joanna. Justin was talking to him, and so then they all walked out, and I told Joanna, who was there with her granddaughter, so I said, hey, you know, appreciate it. We can take it from here. I wanna, you know, we'll make sure, you know, his dad, he was a previous pastor. I said, you know, they'll take care of him. Don't want you guys to take him home. We'll see what's going on, and we'll kind of go from here. She said, okay, well, we'll stick around a couple, you know, a couple more minutes just in case. And I think that they had left, and I followed Justin to the front desk, and that's where Justin, he'd just come downstairs, and he said, he's sticking to his story. He said that his parents are dead.
Okay.
And I said, okay. He's like, I'm going to call Vince Harrison, one of the security guards, and that, you know, helps with security. And he said, can you go in the office and talk to him? And, you know, just, I'm afraid that he may try to run off or something. I said, sure, I'll definitely do that. So I went up there as he was talking to Vince downstairs. And I asked him, tried to cordially just be like, hey, ask him how his day was, you know, trying to make small talk, but get into that conversation at the same time. And I said, you know, so what's happening, man? You know, what's going on? And then he said, well, I said, my parents are dead. I said, well, when did this happen? He's like, well, I think it happened Thursday night. I came in on Friday, and I walked to the door, and I just saw five corpses on the floor, and I saw my dad against the mirror. And I said, did you call 911? I'm like, is there anybody else out there? He's like, well, there's two other couples that live on the land that my dad lets live there, a family, and then two other people, brothers and sisters. I said, well, did you go try to find them? He's like, well, I knocked on the doors and nobody answered. And I said, you didn't think to call 911? He's like, I didn't know what to do. He's like, I just, I'm in shock. And at that point, you know, I said, all right, you know, I've asked for his sister's number at that moment. Tried calling her in the room, and I, you know, just left her message saying, hey, Vanessa, I need you to call me back as soon as you can. I just have a situation I need to talk to you about. And they got Jason's number, called him, and he didn't answer either. He did later talk to me, but that was all in the same room. Kerry Rose, another pastor, came in as Justin was finishing up his conversation and kind of just sternly and quickly just asked, you know, Nehemiah what's going on, and not saying, you know, anything about, you know, the truth is not true, just basically said, what's going on, you know, or, you know, it's, okay, if we go down there, we're going to need to talk to somebody, and so, and then, you know, when he told the story, and Kerry just said, okay, and then he went and finished talking with Justin, and I think they got the phone from Vince, and that's, at that moment, we kind of had a stopping point, and they said, all right, well, we're all going to go, and Eric Lamb was in that room at that point, too. He said, we're all going to go ahead and meet Vince. We're going to go down to McDonald's, and we're going to talk there, and Vince has already called the sheriff's office and is going to have them stop by the house and see what's going on there. And he said, okay, we'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And while we were in that room, Nehemiah was just, he kind of, when Kerry asked him what had happened, he kind of forementioned that his dad's past might have caught up to him.
Okay.
I guess his father has a pretty intense past from California.
Uh-huh.
And he mentioned something about mafia and mentioned something about gangs. And I know that as far as his past, it's not a joke. I mean, his father was definitely really involved in the prison ministry here because of his past in California. So I think that he may have been, maybe he didn't tell him, but he's worried that there was something else going on. But everything else at that point, I left, kept in contact with Vince.
Thanks for listening to True Consequences. Stay tuned next week for the final part in the Murders of the Griego Family series.
Thanks for listening to True Consequences. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at True Consequences Pod and on Twitter at True Cons Pod. True Consequences is listener supported. If you'd like to support this one-man show, please go to patreon.com/True Consequences. Thanks for listening and stay safe, New Mexico.